morning, everyone. What a great service so far, right? Lord's just doing good things, and so many specials on specials that I'm like, let's just keep it going. Like, can we re-loop what we just did? Beautiful, all the way around. The children, that was fantastic with Marianne leading the sacred dance and the reading and the video. Just, it's great to be part of a church with so many talented and men and women who love Jesus. This morning, I'll be continuing our series called For Unto Us. And we'll be looking at, just for a couple of moments this morning, two Old Testament scriptures that point to Christ being the fulfillment of, specifically in the place of peace. I entitled this morning's message, Prince of Peace. And we just learned in that really informative and fun video that you can say also the Prince of Shalom. Awesome. Yeah, nice. You guys got this down. Prince of Shalom. Yes. It's already been alluded to, but whether it's in our world around us today or globally, we can see places that needs God's peace, not just like a cover-up of brokenness, but a real healing. We also can see that probably in our own friend and family connections, right? People that need peace. Maybe you're in a place and you're needing peace with someone else and you feel that. Or maybe you have that internal, that just peace that you lack. You just kind of feel like, if I had to categorize my life this morning, peace would not be the first word I would use. Well, I'm hoping and praying in the next couple of moments that, that we would not just learn more about the Prince of Peace, but that we can encounter the Prince of Peace together. His name is Jesus. And that we could walk out with an internal confidence that, Lord, you are the Lord over all. Lord, over my heart, over the relationships around me, over people in the community, and over this globe, and how, Lord, should I respond accordingly? I want to take just a moment to talk about prophecy. This series is looking at Old Testament messianic prophecies, and I just want to mention a little bit about that. So here's a fun little doodle that I found online that has all the books of the Bible, and as mentioned this last week, there's 66 of them. And in the Old Testament, through a category, you can kind of see at the bottom, they have law, history, poetry, wisdom, major prophets, minor prophets, gospels, history, letters of Paul, general letters, and prophecy. There's a lot of different styles of writing in the Bible, aren't there, right? Same God, same Holy Spirit that breathed life into the writers. And so it's God writing through individuals. So you see their personality, and you also see like sometimes the different styles of writing. But I want to look at prophecy in the Old Testament just for a moment. There's major and minor. I mentioned this last week. The main big difference is just kind of the major prophets were focusing on a much more general kind of prophetic emphasis, and they had a lot more writing and stuff that's recorded. The minor prophets aren't like less important. It's not like minor league baseball or triple A or something. They're still important, just what we have recorded, and their sphere was definitely more specifically focused on speaking on behalf of God to the context they were in. So I just want to look at the major prophets, which are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And the prophet we'll be looking at today, just a little bit, is Isaiah. We'll be looking at two verses in Isaiah. The whole idea of prophecy or prophets, one speaking on behalf of God towards others. And because of God's Spirit at work in us today, here at New Hope Community Church, we believe that God still wants to speak through us. Amen? And we want to be open, and that's why we have spaces in our service like we had earlier. Thanks, Mark, for leading us in praise and worship. And intentionally, we try to make spaces. We want to hear from God. We want to have times that connect to the Holy Spirit. And Lord, what do you want to share in and through me that I could build up and encourage and challenge my brothers and sisters in Christ? So if you ever wonder, why is that space there? There's times to say thank you to God and praise him. But there's also space, Lord, we want to be a prophetic community in the sense that we're listening to God. And we're responding. You with me? Awesome. Prophecy, real quick example of why it's so key even today. Let many of you know this story. I just wanted to share it. It was on my heart. But some of you are newer and you don't know this story. I'll get asked, I don't know, maybe a couple times a year, how did you end up in Potsdam? And I'm like, how did I end up in Potsdam? No. It's great to be up here. When it was -3, I'm like, Lord, did you not call me to Florida? Did you not call me to Florida, the Bahamas, somewhere? I knew. No, just kidding. People are warm. Sometimes the weather is a little bit more chilly. Real quick story. So in like 2008, 2009, I was at a Bible school, and there was one of my advisors who I really trusted had a prophetic word for me. So he was hearing on behalf of God, and he felt like, this is for you, Jim. Now, when someone says that, I feel like God has a word for me, something that's great to remember is a couple like quick guidelines I like to look at. Does this align with God's word? Not everything that's claimed to be prophecy is prophets. There's even false prophets in the Old Testament. So it's really good to know, is this from God? Is this from another spirit? Is this made up? Is this from eating spaghetti? I don't know. But does it line up with God's word? Because if it is a message, a whisper from the Lord, it always lines up with God's word. We're talking about this morning. Do I have the peace of God about this? Not to say you want to base it on emotions, but when you connect with the Lord, is there peace in confirming what my spirit is confirming with God's spirit that's spoken through someone or directly to me? Also, when I share it with mature believers around me, do they also sense God's favor over this word? So it's really good to, if someone shares something, it's really good to not just take it and run with it, but really rest on it, share it, pray about it. And if it's a God's word, he always brings it about, and we just need to follow in accordance to what he's asking us to do day by day. So I had a leader who said, hey, I really feel like God wants me to tell you, Jim, that you need to be open to an internship in like 2008, 2009. So I said, okay. So I prayed on it. Seemed like it aligned with God's word, with what other people were saying, and it felt like a lot of peace in my heart. The Holy Spirit was just confirming that. So I was looking for an internship. I remember there was a pastor that came from Oswego, and he offered an internship. And I really thought that was the place it's supposed to be in Oswego. I hear they get more snow than we do, right? So God knew that wasn't for me. he knows my frame. He knows my frame. I was really disappointed, though. I don't know if you ever got a word before from the Lord or direction, and something feels like it just passes you by, and it can be a little confusing, because I thought you said to do an internship. As I was growing with my walk with the Lord, I didn't realize that just because God says something, I never asked what is the timetable for when I should respond. I just assumed that the first time I would hear internship from anyone, anywhere, even if it was like in a movie, that would be my time to respond. So I was very eager. I think the Lord appreciates my eagerness, but I lacked the wisdom to know, is it the right timing? It was only until I came up here in 2010 for a 40th reunion. It's crazy that we're going to be at 50 just coming up real soon, right? 50 years of what God's been doing through Koinonia, now New Hope Community Church. It's amazing. We'll be able to celebrate. It's going to be an awesome year doing that. But when I came up here, I had a great time connecting. As many visitors I talked to that come to the church now today, when I first came here, I felt the love of God in just an amazing way. It just felt like I was in God's living room. Some of you will remember Barry Scholes. He also used those same words when he came here in the 70s, and he said it felt like I was in God's living room. So I felt that. But it was just really nice. I didn't feel like I was supposed to be here. I didn't hear about an internship. My girlfriend back then, Crystal, was, as I was talking about it, and she was living in Rochester, she's just like, I feel like, and this is like the second prophetic seed or prophetic kind of influence, she's like, I feel like God wants you to be a leader at this church. I'm like, well, that's nice, but I just went there to have a great barbecue at Sandstoner Park. I'm not sensing that. So that's how I felt, right? If I listen to my wife, things usually go a lot better for me. but she's my girlfriend, so I was debating, and you know, I don't debate anything now, right? And so it was neat, because then 2010 in the fall, and many of you know this, I'll speed this up real fast, but the Lord put on my heart one day, hey, you need to call John Law about doing an internship. It was super specific, and it was exactly the wording and the timing. Same day, God told John Law, the founding pastor here, to contact my mom to see if either of her twin boys were interested in doing an internship. And so I want to share that, not that we're just looking at Old Testament prophecy in the New Testament, the Old Testament, but how is God wanting to speak in us and through us today? The whole way that myself and Crystal and our whole family is here and stays here is off of prophetic words. That's the only reason. We love you guys, and we love being here, and we're so thankful. But how we got here was just whispers of God speaking through an advisor, speaking through, at the time, my girlfriend Crystal, of confirming that when I was walking through a corridor and to work. And it's just amazing to see what our lives can look like when we're led by the whispers of the Holy Spirit. So I just want to encourage you, be open to the prophetic and be open to share that with others. So let's look at two. We'll go by pretty quick. We don't have a lot of time this morning, but two Old Testament passages that we see fulfilled in the New Testament. So let's go to, this is kind of our theme, and I mentioned it last week, but we'll look at this verse quickly and then the fulfillment. So it says, for To us, or for unto us, a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, or as we've been learning, Prince of Shalom. Yeah, Shalom. And so I mentioned this last week, so I'm going to go move a little faster on this one. But you see that these prophetic words given by the prophet Isaiah, that they were pointing forward to the Messiah, the anointed one, the called one, who would be coming. And he would actually never see the Messiah in the sense of like being alive when the Messiah would come. And so he's just giving what he believes the Lord has given him to share and to speak, even though it might be, I don't know, maybe 600 years or so before Christ ever intervened into history and the person of Jesus. He's giving these words. We see this fulfillment in John 16:33. It says, I have told you these things, this is Jesus, so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. What a powerful reminder from Jesus. I'm going to read it again. I have told you these things, his disciples are a little bit worried about him leaving, so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. Is that not a true statement or what, right? Jesus just says it, it's like a truism through and through. In this world, you have trouble, but take heart, I, Jesus, have overcome the world. Yeah, we can give God the glory. This word was given in Isaiah like 600-something years before. You get to see Jesus now being born as we're looking forward to the Christmas season, anticipation with Advent. But then we see Jesus as he started his ministries, and towards the end of it, 32 or 33, wherever this one comes, years old, and you get to see him encouraging his disciples that you will have trouble in this world, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That his death on the cross, when we look at the birth of Christ, we need to also look at what was his purpose for coming, and it's the death for our sins, the punishment, the penalty, and overcoming the devil's plans, and himself, the devil, overcoming the devil, that through that victory, we can walk as men and women who have peace, who are courageous, who are conquerors, who are victorious, because this Messiah who came, Christ, has won everything for us on the cross. So no matter what difficulty we face, what challenges we see in the world, how dismayed some things break our hearts, you know, that God has overcome. And through that, we can be peace bringers, peace sharers. That sacred dance illustration this morning, that was powerful. If you want an application for this message and what the Lord's been speaking through this whole service, just look at some of the visual examples we saw. Just take one and run with it. Great way to bring God's peace. I want to look at another Isaiah passage. So that was Isaiah 9:6. We're going to look at Isaiah 53:5. So we're looking at just little nuggets this morning, but I pray that the Lord would encourage you through them. So Isaiah 53:5. So we get to see that Jesus is coming to overcome, and we get to see that it came at a price. We're not looking at peace in a cheap sense of peace. Have you ever had a conflict with someone and you kind of back away? You don't resolve it, but you have kind of like a fake peace. You ever done that before? I know I have. It's kind of like a relational cold war. You're not firing at each other, but if you could, you would. And you know they would definitely would too. That's not the kind of peace that Christ was bringing. It was a peace that would bring wholeness from the inside out. And it wasn't an easy peace either. It was costly. And Isaiah prophet through the Holy Spirit, he mentions that, which we see in Isaiah 53:5. He says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Let's just look at those two words, those two sentences right there. So he was pierced not for anything he did wrong, for things that you and I have done wrong. He was crushed not for anything he did wrong, but for things you and I have done wrong. He was perfect, sinless. And to see that God would come down, human flesh, fully God, fully man, to take all the blunt and the pain and the sin and the wrath of God on himself, you get to see that this peace is not a cheap peace. It's not an easy peace. It's a painful peace. And sometimes bringing peace isn't necessarily an easy thing to do. And if you look at what Jesus did, this cost him not just some of pain, it cost him his very life. It says, upon him was a chastisement. How do you say that word? Sorry. Nice, whatever you said, yeah. I'm getting over a cold, so I'm still trying to figure out how to read. That brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. What Christ has done on the cross for us is available to us today through the power of the Holy Spirit. That what Jesus has done and his victory, we can walk in that. It's amazing that by his wounds, we are healed. You don't usually think of wounding someone else in order to receive healing. And if you're sick this morning, have ongoing health issues, you probably want to think about that, right? Someone else being wounded for me to be healed. But you get to see that God was bringing a healing, and oftentimes we'll focus on physical, but the biggest healing was a reconciliation, peace reconciliation with our Heavenly Father. He brought that healing by his wounds on the cross. That what Jesus has done for you and I on the cross, it carries. It's eternal and it's ongoing, and you can receive that through the power of the Holy Spirit today. We see this in Colossians 1:20, and I think the video we watched earlier actually had all the New Testament passages I mentioned already, but great video. And it says, "And through him, Christ, to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood on his cross." Once again, we see Paul writing to the church of Colossae, just highlighting, and you see that fulfillment of Christ, that the peace is great, and it's wonderful. It's amazing as we're thinking that, I know many people give gifts at Christmas time, that the greatest gift is one that we can't actually pay for. It's only one that we can receive. The greatest gift we can have. Let us be certain to keep our focus and our eyes on Christ and his gift. Let us not get caught in the busyness of the season sometimes that focuses on so many other things, good things, but not the first thing of honoring and prioritizing Christ. He has made peace through the blood of his blood on the cross. So I want to talk about something briefly as I'm wrapping up. So you see God working through the prophet Isaiah, giving these messianic prophecies that wouldn't be fulfilled till hundreds of years later. And then we get to see Christ being that fulfillment, the day he was born, the way he lived, the way he died. But we know that Jesus didn't just die, he was resurrected, that we have a living Prince of Peace. It wasn't like a good idea that got shot down. Well, hope something else will work. But we have a living Prince of Peace. We have a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. And as I was meditating on peace yesterday and today, and I was just thinking about it in more practical ways, if you were looking for peace this morning in your life, oftentimes a place that we do not have peace is a place that God is not fully Lord of in our life. God will not allow us to have peace in our life in places that we want to be Lord. You cannot have peace and pride at the same time. And so sometimes, as we see walking in humility, the video made point of that. If we walk in humility, we can receive peace, ongoing, eternal peace, not based on circumstances or feelings or emotions. And might there be an area the Lord wants to highlight? I'm not Lord of that area yet, but I really want to. I really want to be able to set you free. I heard it recently. Here's an illustration. So much of our life can sometimes be spent on us being the center of it. And if you think of like our, think about like the planets that orbit around the sun, sometimes we can make ourselves the center of our own solar system. As if Jesus is supposed to circle around us. But if you see through the Bible always points to Jesus. We're not supposed to be having Christ circle around us, not that he would. Christ is supposed to be the center, and we're supposed to be circling around him. Are you with me? And if you wonder, why am I not having peace sometimes? Sometimes we're asking God, Lord, circle around me and what I'm doing. I don't need to change. You just need to help me in these certain things. It's good to ask, am I the center, or is Christ the center? Am I orbiting around Christ, or am I just kind of hoping that maybe he'll orbit around me and fulfill three wishes this week? Lord, am I more in love with the presence of Jesus, or have I fallen more just to the gifts that Jesus brings? God brings so many gifts, but we do not want to miss out on the biggest gift, which is his presence. And if we elevate any of his gifts over his presence, we'll miss out on what God has, the relationship of knowing that you are a dearly loved child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and the Prince of Peace. I want to move on. So when Jesus was talking to his disciples and comforting them, they were sad because he's going away. They didn't understand it. He's like, it's better that I go away because I'm actually going to send somebody. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. In the Greek, this word is like paraclete or kletos or something like that. It means call to our side or one who comes alongside. We want Christ to be the center of our life. But we also know that God's a compassionate Heavenly Father. He's Lord of Lords, King of Kings, but he's also a good Father, which means he comes alongside in our journey as we're pursuing Jesus. And as we're in places of pain and difficulty, because of the Holy Spirit, we have the Comforter. Isn't that awesome? And the neat thing is, in the Old Testament, you had to go to a temple or a tabernacle to get the presence of God. Select individuals had the presence of God. When Jesus was walking, you could be near the presence of God, literally in the flesh. And then he leaves, and then if you receive Christ into your life, now you have the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, with you 24/7. It doesn't get better than this, right? 24/7 access to the Comforter with you, who wants to be with you and come alongside you. And I wanted to show this video. I saw an image of it during an Alpha Youth session recently. It's like a 2-minute video, but I think it makes a powerful point of someone coming alongside. It's Derek Redmond finishing his 400-meter race in 1992. I was only 4 years old, so I actually did not watch this. Maybe some of you have in Barcelona. But let's watch this video of what it looks like to come alongside someone who's in a lot of pain. So we should have it right up here. AV team. Yeah, I saw on the Alpha and I just thought, what a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit coming along us when we're in a time of pain. And you get to see just the pain he was in from a torn hamstring and his father right there with him. How much more our Heavenly Father, who loves us and cares for us, and he wants to be champion at the finish line. He is in heaven. But because of the Holy Spirit at the same time, he's right there going through life with you. So when you're in the difficulty and you're in pain, and maybe you're in emotional, physical, or mental pain this morning, you know what it's like? Know that you don't go through life alone. You walk through life with the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the one who brings peace, the byproduct of a relationship with is peace. who was sent by the Prince of Peace. There's a lot of peace going on. But God has a lot of peace for you and for me to share. I would like to invite us to musicians at this time. Just a couple questions and a prayer, and then we'll have a closing song. A couple reflective questions. Where do you need peace in your own life this morning? Is there a place where you just have to be honest? I do not have peace over. Maybe there's a part of our life that's just hurting, and we really need to know God's peace. Where do you need peace in a relationship? If you have yet to know God as your Lord and Savior, I would submit that the biggest need of a relationship being rebuilt is between you and God. The neat thing is Jesus has already done that on the cross. So I encourage you, if you have yet to give your life over to Christ, it's a free gift of, Lord, I want you to be Lord over my life forever. Forgive me of my sins. I want to follow you. And if you invite Christ into your life, that relationship is restored through what Jesus has done. For those who have done that, or maybe are wanting to grow more into just knowing God, is there a broken relationship horizontally that the Lord's wanted you to step out and bring peace? To speak peace, to bring peace. And a lot of times, if you're working on restoring things, it's messy. It is. We're working with brokenness in our life and other people's lives. It can be messy, but with God's help, the Comforter, we can bring peace. And lastly, where does God want you to bring peace to others this week? Maybe there's brokenness, places that are not shalom or whole that you see in your life, around others, or in our community, or beyond that. And God wants you to bring a peace bringer, a peacemaker. I want to pray for us before this closing song. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for your words of encouragement we read in the Old Testament. Thank you for your promise to fulfill every word that you share. God, thank you that you're faithful even when we're not. And Lord, I just pray for peace over us this morning. God, I pray for peace from within, that we would know you as Lord and Father over every area of our life. God, we so desperately need you. God, I know, forgive me when I try to go my day at any point without you. Lord, we so need you. And God, I just pray for comfort for those who are hurting, that they would know your Holy Spirit in a special way this morning. God, I pray for relationships that are strained. God, may we look at how you restored a relationship with us, and may that be the template for how we restore relationships with others. May we overflow with humility, unconditional love, thankfulness, and joy. And God, help us to be peacemakers in this world where there's brokenness and hurt, even when it's sometimes painful for us, Lord. Help us to, God, know how to step out in a way that would honor you and bring wholeness and truth and your peace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to invite you, if you're able to do so, to stand for our closing song.
Bill.